God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 22nd day of December, 2010, and you're listening to our Wednesday evening broadcast. Tonight's sermon is taught by veteran missionary John Quinlan, who with his wife has served in the Philippines for over 30 years. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you're listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks again for listening.
I'm excited to have them. Ms. Pam's going to come give a testimony. Many of you know, listening to her prayer letters about her cancer. And so she's going to share a little bit, and then Brother John will come and preach for us.
All right, I'm going to say a word before she gets started. It is a blessing to be here tonight, and we certainly appreciate this church. Over this last year, I have been, we're greatly appreciative of our churches, and I know that you've been very patient with us. We're supposed to be in the mission field. That's where missionaries are supposed to be, but the Lord has us here, and we just thank the Lord for the faithfulness of the churches, and we are praying and looking forward as God has blessed so greatly that we'll be able to get back there. And so I've asked Pam to give a testimony. I think it'll be a blessing to you. What the Lord has done for her and through her this last year.
Well, good evening. It is a blessing to be here, and I do thank the Lord for my salvation. And I don't normally give a testimony with notes, but when you have chemo brain, you forget a lot. And sometimes you need a little help. But I do, I'm so glad that the Lord saved me when I was a child, and that he never leaves us alone. And I'm thankful for my Christian family. And you know, I thank the Lord for so many things, and you know, you don't really realize how good he is until you come to the place where it seems like you need him more than normal, and yet really we don't. We need him the same every day. We just sometimes don't recognize it like we should. And last year when they began talking about, you know, that big C word and questioning before we left the Philippines, they didn't really know. And it was a little scary, and we always, as humans, begin to say, Lord, why does this happen? And yet, we don't want to say that, but we can't almost help from doing it, and yet, we never can know why, but we know that he is always in control. And he gave me a verse in Psalms in chapter 57 and verse 2, and it says there, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God who performeth all things for me. And you know, it doesn't say there whether it's good or whether it's bad. It just says that everything he does in our life is for us. And so as I thought about that and about what could be in the future, I had to understand that there wasn't anything I could change in my life. Only God could do that. And whatever was happening, he was performing it, and he was doing it for me. And I wanted to be what he wanted me to be, and I wanted to learn whatever it is he wanted me to learn. And so it was difficult to leave the Philippines when we left, especially not knowing what was going on. And for them, it was very difficult. And one of the services, after he had told them what was going on, we went home, and I told him, I said, I feel like I'm dead or really dying already, because the people were all crying and you know, they had these sad faces and all this, you know, and you're thinking, my goodness. And yet then I got to thinking in my mind about it, and I thought, most of the people that they know that have cancer have died. And so they were scared. And, you know, many times there's a lot of different reasons in the Philippines. Maybe they don't have money for treatment, or many times Filipinos are of the attitude that if something hurts too much or it makes them sick, then they just quit. And so some of them have done this, and so it made me realize that God needed to help me to have a right spirit so that I could be a testimony to them, whatever happened. And so I asked God to help me to do that, because I wanted to be a testimony to them. And it was difficult to leave, not knowing what was going to happen and not knowing what was in the future there. And yet God did give peace, even before we left the Philippines, because he's in control. And I just thank him for his many blessings in there. And, you know, I just told him, I want to be a testimony to our Filipino folks, even though they're in the Philippines, but to all the people that I might touch through this situation. And, you know, I thought about it. One of the first verses that I thought about was in Psalms 141 and verse 3. It says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth." And I thought, Lord, help me not to complain. No matter what happens, help me not to complain. To be a testimony. And that's what I wanted to do. And I asked the Lord to help me in that. And I'm so thankful that he has. And he also gave me that verse there in Psalms 26 and verse 7. And it says, "That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell to all thy wondrous works." And that's my desire, is to tell people what God has done. Yes, I had cancer, but God taught me so many things through that, and I wouldn't change it for anything. It wasn't the happiest time of my life, but I learned so many things that it was something God used to help me to learn. And I wanted to be a blessing to others. And I know that there's been so many people who have prayed for me around the world. I've gotten emails from people that I have no idea who they are. I've gotten emails from people in Wales. I have no idea how Wales found out about me. But anyway, I've had people email me and tell me they're praying. And it's God that's doing all of this, because it's encouraging. And it was a help to me. And, you know, as I thought about last year when we come home, because we come home the last part of October last year. And then in November, they diagnosed that it was cancer. And I didn't even start treatments until January. And I thought about it at this point this year, because last year at this time, I didn't know what was in the future. And everything that happened, I was thinking, is this the last time I'm going to do this? I love snow. And we got a lot of snow last year. And so I was thinking, Lord, are you giving me a lot of snow? Because this is the last time I'm going to have snow. We had Christmas, and all of our kids were there for Christmas. And that hadn't happened since 1998. And I said, Lord, are you doing this? Because this is my last Christmas. And, you know, those thoughts run through your mind. And yet I was so thankful for everything that he did for me. And yet it's part of what you face when you face these kind of things. And yet I can't say that I was never scared, because that would be a lie, because we do get scared. But I also always knew that God was the one that was in control. When good things happened, the doctors would get so excited and think, you know, well, the medication's working. And I would tell them, no, we have a God that's working. He's not, you're just being his vessel that he's used, but it's God that's doing the work. And it's so exciting to see how God works. And, you know, sometimes I get to feeling, you know, like I'm reacting in a wrong manner, because we think God is so amazing, but God's always amazing. And we just don't recognize it so many times, and yet every single day he's amazing in our lives if we just learn to look at it and recognize it. And there's so many things that have happened, so many changes, and yet God's always been there through each one of them. In October, I finished all my treatments. I'm completed now with everything, and I'm healing, I'm getting stronger, and I'm so thankful for that. And I still have no hair. Well, I have a little bit of hair. It's growing. And that's good. On the other hand, I've enjoyed being different all the time. I can walk in the house and throw off my hair or throw off my hat and do whatever I want. I can be different every day. In fact, we were in a mission conference, and so about the third day, one of the missionaries come up that had some kids, and he said, "We have to tell you what our kids asked last night." And we said, "What?" He said, "They wanted to know, how come that missionary comes with a new wife every night?" So, well, that's how rumors get started. So I'm going to miss that. I'm going to be able to be different every day. But the Lord has been so good, and I'm so thankful for the spirit that he has allowed me to have. And people have asked me how I can do it, and I tell them, I don't know. God's done it. He's helped me. You know, you find out people are always willing to tell you their horrific stories. They just love to tell you all these really bad stories. And yet, I can honestly tell you, I don't have any horrific stories to tell. Because I did not get sick at all in my treatments. Every step of the way, God has been there. and he's helped me. And I don't know why he's done that for me, but I'm thankful for it. And I'm glad he's been there for me and that he's helped me. And right now, probably the thing that I see that's on my heart the most is I'm ready to get back to the Philippines. It's been over a year. And I miss those people there because they've become our family. Last year, they have graduation in February. And some of the girls emailed me and they said, we're going to fail all our classes, so you'll be here when we graduate. I said, I don't think so. I said, you better graduate in February. And they did. But it was so nice because one of their families has Skype. And so all the graduating class got together and they called me on Skype so I could talk to them. And that was so nice. Technology is wonderful. But I miss them. I'm ready to get back. And we know God has this perfect timing, and we have to wait on him, but I'm ready to be there. And so this Christmas is special because I do have another Christmas that I didn't know last year if I was going to have. But, you know, it's not anything that I've done. It's been God. It's God who's given me another chance, and I want to use it to glorify him in all things. And I do thank you for your prayers. I know many of you have told me that you've been praying, and I thank you for that. And I know that we can see the effects of that prayer because God helped me through so much. And it's only through his grace and his mercy that I come through it so well. And so I just thank you. Continue to pray for us. And we're looking forward. The doctors have said I can go back in June. And right now that's very far away, but at least it's a goal. And that's what we're looking for. Thank you.
Thank you. Man, thank you. I knew that testimony would be a blessing to you. And we do appreciate all of our churches. We appreciate this church. This church started supporting us, I think, sometime after December of 1978. We just started out. We were in your mission conference, and of course, you've always been a blessing to us. We thank you so much. And then for the privilege to be here tonight, turn with me in your Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians and chapter 9. I don't know that I do very well. Sunday, I was in a service. The pastor was gone, and he asked me to preach for him Sunday morning and Sunday night. So it was before Christmas, so I thought, well, I need to preach a Christmas message. So I did. Went home and I told my wife, I said, that really didn't go off very good. So I thought about using the pastor's message that he preached up at the fellowship meeting, but he said he preached that Sunday. So I guess I can't use that tonight. You already heard it. But this particular portion of scripture is one that comes to my mind, and it's a blessing to me. And I would like to challenge you about missions. But we want to think about Christ and about what he has done for us. Let's begin reading there at verse 9 of 2 Corinthians in chapter 9. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the ministration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. And then verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And Christmas, we think about giving. And I want us to think a little bit about that unspeakable gift tonight and what that means to us. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you would bless this time. Help me to say just the right words. Don't want to go long tonight, but I'd like for you to be able to use your word to bless people's hearts. And so help me to be that blessing tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I think about this, and this verse certainly says a lot about missions. And of course, Christ coming is about missions. He came to this earth not so that he could live a good example. He did that. He came to this earth not just so that we could think about a baby born in a manger and think about Christmas and the things that we think about surrounding that, but he came to go to the cross of Calvary to pay the price for our sin, for our wickedness, and to take what we deserved on that cross so that we might have that we do not deserve, that we might have life eternal. And that life eternal is not just heaven off somewhere, but that life eternal begins when we trust Christ as our Savior. And he gives us life. And he wants us to have an abundant life. And so as we think about this, I'd like to also, in thinking about it, kind of communicate to you. And I'm not a great world traveler. We've gone back and forth to the Philippines a number of times, being missionaries there. This last year, I've gone back and forth. I was back in February, and I was back again in August, and be going back in January next month, and February again. But so I don't know about all the other mission fields of the world. I haven't been on them. I couldn't speak for them. But the Lord has done some wonderful things in the Philippines. And the work there, you know, it's hard to explain it to people if you can't be there. But we try to. Of course, that presentation gives you kind of a look-see at it. But the Lord has done some wonderful things. I think about what has taken place in our life in regard to my wife's testimony and how the Lord prepared. We didn't know anything about it. But you know, how can we be gone? Well, the church where we work, where the Bible College is the Mountain View Bible Baptist Church. And it's a ministry that is over 50 years old. And it is a self-supporting work. They carry on the Bible College ministry. They finance most of it. We have three pastors that teach there with us. And we've always worked around there. We've taught in the Bible College, even when my parents were still there and my dad was leading in the Bible College. And we started a work north of there in Conception and started a work south of there in Guagua. And then after we took the church, after my dad left and took the leadership in the church and the Bible College, God kind of burdened our heart about starting a new work in the south part of Angeles City. And so on Sunday afternoons, we begin to do that. And God has worked over the time where now that the pastor that has taken that work is the vice president in the Bible College, Brother Claro Duenas. He has worked with us basically since we got to the Philippines. Him and I have worked together. And of great kindred spirit. He's been a great blessing to us. And he has a wife and two children now. But when we had to leave last year, you know, somebody says, well, who's going to keep the work? Well, Brother Duenas says he's right there, just 5 miles away. And so he's been able to carry on with the Bible College. But God has opened many doors. And, of course, with the Bible College, we have graduates. The school was started by my dad in 1967, 65, I'm sorry. And so there are over 300 graduates now and well over 100 pastoring churches in a lot of different places. We have a graduate last February when I was there in the mission conference. We have a young man that, he's getting kind of older now, but he graduated 18 or 19 years ago, and then he went down to Australia and took an Australian church down there that I think was running, you know, they had three or four people when he took the work. It was about to die. And he's ministered there for 17 years. And then the Lord called him to go to Paraguay as a missionary. So he resigned. And happens that the church down there called one of our graduates that graduated about 5 years ago. And so the Lord has given us a great opportunity. We have two of the students that have graduated in the past that have started churches, and in those churches now they have Bible schools where they're training young people and starting other works. And so this is kind of what is before us, I think, in this portion of Scripture. We see Jesus Christ as he that hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, and yet his righteousness remaineth forever. What did he disperse abroad? Well, he gave righteousness. That's what that verse is talking about. And the verse is saying that when you give, you don't lose anything. When you give as the Bible teaches you ought to give. When you give as Christ gave. He dispersed abroad. And we think about what Christ could give man. And I know a lot of people would think, well, Christ could feed the world. And we see that illustrated in his life. He could feed 5,000 people with two barley loaves or five barley loaves and two fishes. And it wasn't any problem to him. On another occasion, he fed 4,000 people with just what he had. And those things are not a problem to Jesus, but he didn't come to feed the world. And I'm not saying that people don't need to be fed, but that's not why Jesus came. And we see him healing the sick, even raising the dead. But I think we need to be reminded that that's not why he came. He could heal all men. He could heal every disease, but that's not why he came. He came because of our greatest need. And our greatest need is righteousness. We are, as natural human beings, we are unrighteous. We're sinners. We're ungodly. The Bible says that our righteousness is the best that we have are as filthy rags in God's eyes. And so he came to make us righteous. And that's why he died on the cross of Calvary, paid the price for our sin. The wages of sin is death, and he paid for it. He paid the price. And then he rose again. And to those who will believe and receive, as we believe him and receive him, then he gives us the righteousness of God. And that's why, if you're saved tonight, that's why you have a home in heaven. Not because you're better than anybody else. Because we're not. I don't deserve anything better than the worst man that has ever lived upon this earth, whoever you want to contemplate in your mind as being that person. I'm not any better than Adolf Hitler, and neither are you. I mean, we compare ourselves among ourselves, and we can think we're better. But God doesn't look at us in the same way that we look at us. God sees us through the eyes of his righteousness, his perfection. And that's what Romans is talking about when it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody measures up. Nobody measures up. But when we receive him, he gives us his righteousness. So when God looks at me as his child, he sees me just like he sees himself. Just like he sees Christ. He sees me righteous. And so that's the gift. And I like that scripture in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. The Bible says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. When the time came, when the right time came, God sent his son. And of course, back in Isaiah, and I want to look at the scripture in Isaiah chapter 9. And verse 9, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, I'm sorry. For unto us a child is born. There's Bethlehem. Unto us a son is given. And there's the cross. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. In a very real way, we look at that and we see vast periods of time. You know, the child born, and then it was 33 years later when he died on the cross of Calvary. And some of us might think, well, he doesn't rule, but actually he does rule. But God doesn't see those vast periods of time. God sees his son. The son that was born, the son that was given on the cross of Calvary. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then the son that rules. And as I look in this portion of scripture, it talks about back there in our text, the righteousness of God. Verse 10 then says, "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown." Now that bread, we can say it, and I don't have any problem with somebody saying that's physical bread. I think God does provide for us physically. And oh, what a blessing it has been to see our Filipino people. And really, there's not a lot of difference. Because the same things that you're taught here in this church, we teach them over there. We have a Faith Promise Mission Conference, and our people give to mission. The Mountain View Bible Baptist Church supports 41 foreign missionaries, Filipinos that have been sent out. And then they have probably about 20 home mission projects, students that have graduated from school, and we're trying to help them get work started. And they do that through their giving. And as they learn to give, God meets their needs physically. And it doesn't matter about the economy. God meets their needs anyway. He's not constrained by our economy. And he does the same thing. But I want to think of this a little bit as he ministers bread for your food. He gives us the bread of life, Jesus Christ. And then he multiplies the seed that's sown. What was it Jesus said in John chapter 12? "Except a grain of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone." Jesus came to this earth. He came to the ground. He came down here. Left heaven in the fullness of time. And he died on a cross. And look at the multiplying that has taken place. He multiplies the seed. He has brought many sons into righteousness. Have you ever contemplated how's it going to be on that day when we gather? How many billions of people are going to be gathered there in heaven? I mean, we can think, and certainly we ought to spend some time contemplating about the multitudes that are lost. But what about the multitudes that are going to be there on that day? Because God multiplies the seed that was sown. And he increases the fruits of your righteousness. Jesus Christ gave. And look at the impact. We can go through the Bible and we see that it was said of Paul that he turned the world upside down. Now the Bible is true. He had a great impact. The gospel of Christ had a great impact upon that world. And although it's not published today, I think you and I would be surprised if we could really see the impact that Christ has on the world in which we live. And I recognize there are a lot of people that reject him. But he still has an impact upon this world. A son given, a child given. child born and a son that's given. And then it says there, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And I want you to look there at verse 13. Whilst by the experiment of this administration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. There we have Christ came being subjected to the Father. He was born in that manger in obedience to God, to the government of God, to the sovereign will of God. He came to this earth as a result of that. And then he wants you and I, as we have trusted Christ, as he is born in our heart through salvation, he wants us to be under his government. We're not talking about in the future when he rules on David's throne on this earth. Yes, that's coming. I'm talking about today. He wants you and I to be under his government. And Christmas ought to be about the fact that Christ rules in our heart. And not just on Sunday or on Wednesday night, but he rules in our heart all the time. He's the ruler. And then as a result of that, if your heart is subject to the gospel of Christ, then there's liberal distribution. Now, the first thing most of us think about maybe is getting down into our pocket. And that's good. But I don't believe that's all that it's talking about. You know, there needs to be some going. When we say, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about Christ. But you know, just because Christ died on the cross of Calvary, that didn't save you. I wasn't saved just because he died on the cross of Calvary. If that was the case, then all the world would be saved. But I was saved because I heard the gospel. Why did I hear the gospel? Well, yeah, I understand that, yes, it's God's responsibility. It's Jesus Christ is the reason that I heard the gospel. But I also understand the Bible makes it very clear that God uses men. And so as Christ, in John chapter 20 and verse 21, what was it that Jesus said to his disciples? He says, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Now think about that. As the Father hath sent me, as, in the same manner, in the same way, the Father sent him in poverty. I doubt if there's any of us that have ever faced the poverty that Jesus and his family faced when he was born into this world. But he says, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. In hardship, in difficulty, in rejection, you understand. He had a great impact upon the world in which he lived. But you understand that in his day, in his life, he was rejected by the majority. They were the ones that cried, crucify him, crucify him. We won't have this man to rule over us. The religion of his day. And so, what I'm saying is, somebody brought the gospel to you. And I think Christmas is a good time to remember. Now, it's hard for some of us, and I'll put myself right in there, because you see, I was born into, my dad was pastoring in Stockton, California when I was born. So, you know, I've been in church all my life. But I thank the Lord as I grew up, my parents continually reminded us that there was a time back in the 30s, 40s, probably the 30s, back in the late 30s, when a Baptist preacher came and knocked on the farmhouse of the Quinlan family. And some of you may know Paul Lambert, but he knocked on my dad was just a boy. And my grandparents were saved, but they weren't in church. And none of the family was saved other than them. And so they began to attend church as a result of that. And my dad got saved. And because of that, what am I saying? Somebody brought the gospel there. And somebody brought the gospel to you. Somebody provided for you. Some of you may not even know, and I don't know who established the Central Baptist Church, who was the first man to come here. I do know, of course, the father-in-law, brother, your pastor, Brother Waterloo, Brother Bittinger spent 25 years here. And probably most of you were never under his ministry. But certainly he had a great impact upon this area and this work. And so what am I saying? I'm saying, as Christ gave and others have given, so you and I need to give. We need to give. We need to let his government be on us. We need to submit ourselves to his word, to the responsibility that he's given us. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 there and verse 15. Verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live, that's all of us that are saved. If you're saved, you have life. You live. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And so if we'll let him rule in our life, we won't live to ourselves. But we'll live unto him which died for us and rose again. Thank you tonight. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the pastor to come. Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ, your unspeakable gift. And through Christ, you've given so many things. Lord, you've given Pam and I the privilege of serving you as missionaries in the Philippines. And Lord, we pray that you would hasten that day when we can get back there. Those people that hold such a very important place in our heart and life. And that we might effectively minister again in training preachers, young men, and then young ladies that can be used in your service for your honor and glory. Lord, we ask you to bless this church. And Lord, challenge each of these people tonight that as Christ has given to them, you don't want us just to wrap gifts and put them under a tree, but you want us to give you our heart that you can rule in our lives. Not just on December 25th, but every day of the year, that you might be glorified in our hearts and lives. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thanks again for listening.